Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me in the latest Mortcast, part of the CSG and MHS network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. Okay, this podcast is going to be an appreciation of Nikola Jokic, but done in a way that you're not necessarily thinking. Those of you who pay attention to my Twitter account, I've got at CSG underscore network, where this podcast goes, and then I retweeted on my account, which is at jmorton78. Well, the jmorton78 has become an account largely dedicated to my second podcast, which is called The Gen X Show. And, you know, as basically, it's a podcast about me being old. I mean, basically, completely on brand. Jeff is old and out of touch, so that's basically about me, and plus a bunch of other things like, you know, my life, LGBTQ life, and all these things like that. So, I mean, it really encompasses all that is me. An adjunct of this has been, I have revealed to people my obsession with music and movies, of which I have knowledge of as much as I do the Denver Nuggets. And I joke about this all the time, but it's semi-true. I guess I'm semi-joking, is that my knowledge of all this trivial stuff regarding the Nuggets and all this other music and movies has pushed out all relevant knowledge of functioning in life. So maybe that's been my issue here, and it's, I could probably sit on a couch and talk about that for ages. But the point is, last night, if the Nuggets beat the Kings, that to go to 22-11, and they're sitting atop the Western Conference, and the best record in the Western Conference and the second best record in the NBA. They're tied with the Bucks for that. An analogy came to me that a lot of you are not going to get, but I will do my best to explain my analogy with Nikola Jokic and a famous director who happens to be my favorite director. But they come together in a way that you aren't expecting. I'm going to talk about Jokic and his year so far. and how spectacular it has been for him to do what he is doing a year after he won his second MVP. You know, we can talk about the 40-point games. We can talk about the 40-27 and whatever he got, 10 that he got that one time, which was topped by Luka Doncic last night in a spectacular game against the New York Knicks. We can talk about all of that, but we can also talk about how he's doing it in a way that people can't compute. And I said this years ago about him, is that people, particularly Americans, and we are very visually based, we look at someone like Jokic and we just don't think of him as a guy who should be dominating basketball games. This is a American thing. We just can't get it out of our heads that he doesn't look like a guy who should be dominating basketball games. Dirk had this a little bit. There are other players who have had this. Tim Duncan was another one who didn't look like he should be dominating basketball games. It's just, we have trouble with this. But with those guys, we kind of accepted it a little earlier than we have with Jokic. Jokic won his second MVP, and people still don't believe it. There's sometimes people are ahead of the curve. They are ahead of where the rest of people are. Even though they arrive at the right time, mentally we aren't ready to accept them. And that is basically Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic is doing things that we have never seen before, but he's doing it in a way that is completely unassuming, unpretentious, and basically this well-known aversion to bathing in accolades, which is another thing that we as Americans do not understand. It computes to us to see Joel Embiid really trying to win his and win an MVP. It means a lot to him. We can understand that. We can understand that with Luka Doncic. We can understand someone really wanting that personal glory, which does not take anything away from what they're trying to do for the team. But we are used to it. We're used to the show. The NBA is about the show. And part of the show is being about personal promotion, about being ubiquitous with advertising. It's about being everywhere, putting your stamp on your brand everywhere. It is a carryover from the Jordan Bird commercials of the early 90s. And these things have carried forward because, you know, Michael Jordan was a massive, massive, massive brand, and who happened to be the best basketball player that we've ever seen. And we're used to that sort of thing. It's just not something that we can compute because it's not humility, but we take the lack of personal promotion as something that is a weakness. It is not something that we look at as an attribute of some of to be glorified. We don't take, and like I said, it's not humility on Jokic's part, and I'll get to that when I draw my comparison in the second half of the podcast. But Jokic does these things almost in a, well, basically, you know, it's very similar to, if you're gonna, and this is not the comparison I'm gonna make, but it's very similar to Alex English. Alex English did a lot. Was the big leading scorer of the 80s, and he was not about his own personal promotion, and it didn't help that the Nuggets were never on a very good team that were just never on national TV back then. But that he would do all this amazing stuff without seeking the glory, and a lot of that is Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic just doesn't operate that way. He would rather be, you know, hanging out with his horses, as the joke is, right? We all joke about Nikola Jokic would rather be out there doing something with Dreamcatcher, right? But Jokic has been doing this in a year where he has somehow, some way, upped his game. We all know for a fact that Jokic would rather be not having to deal with carrying such a scoring offensive load. And there is a certain European aspect to this where players take a large scoring, and it's not every European player that comes over. But there is a kind of a culture about what you're doing right now is selfish if you're seeking to score a lot. And that is something that is hard for many European players to overcome, because it's like we're trained to be about team, and part of the team is sacrificing and all this stuff. And the first thing you can sacrifice is scoring. And I think the NBA-ness of it is something that even Jokic is starting to learn a bit, even though he doesn't like it. For example, his answer about Aaron Gordon's Christmas Day dunk. The right play that Gordon could have made was to pass it to Jokic, who, as Jokic pointed out in the press conference, he was open. There was some tongue-in-cheek there, but I think Jokic was only half kidding there. The right play would have been to pass it to Jokic. The right NBA play was to for Aaron Gordon to dunk that ball so hard that Landry Shamet is now a spirit. And that basically is it. That is the right NBA play. And there's a difference. Jokic is still uncomfortable with that. The right basketball play would have been for Gordon to just dump it off to Jokic, who was right on his left, and have Jokic have the easy dump-in layup. Okay, that would have been the right play. The right NBA play was for Gordon to smash it so hard that Landry Shamet went not only on the ground, but under the ground. that is what that is. That is the right NBA play. And Jokic is not part of that. That is not part of the way he is wired. He doesn't look at things the same way we do as fans who observe the NBA. We have expectations of self-promotion. We have expectations of people to accept the praise. All of this, we look at it unequivocally like that is the way it should be. But Jokic is unpretentious. He is not a pretentious person. And let me clarify here. Jokic is still not my favorite player ever who's played for the Nuggets. For me, that will always be LaPhonso Ellis, and Fonz had the same thing. Fonz really enjoyed his time on the court, but he was a very unpretentious person. And I guess guys like that appeal to me. But Jokic is clearly the best player who's ever come through Denver. And while not being quote unquote my favorite player, that's not a value judgment on him. I just have an affinity for LaPhonso Ellis. It will be there for the rest of my life. But Jokic is clearly the best player who's ever come through Denver. And he's the least, and he is also without a doubt next to Alex English, the least seeking of attention. And that part is hard for many of us Americans to compute. I mean, it's just the way it is. And that is one of the reasons that the appreciation of Jokic has lagged behind his actual accomplishment. And that happens. You can be putting out something or doing something that is later going to be accepted as brilliant, is later going to be accepted as something we've never seen before, something that will be probably rightfully appreciated and worshipped for a long time. That happens. And it happens in many different forms of entertainment. And that part is why I'm going to draw this comparison that I'm going to get to in the second half, because that will make sense to you once you understand what I'm talking about. The unpretentiousness, the aversion to over-the-top praise, the lack of self-promotion, and the ahead of the timeness of Nikola Jokic lead me to really draw a comparison to a man who is still around and is probably my favorite, one of my favorite individuals who's ever been around. And any of you know me, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about, or if you clicked on the title of this thing, because it'll be into that. But first, I want to talk to you about Blanchard Family Wines, located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field. Right in the middle of the area block there. Always online at bfwcolorado.com. There's a new branch in Fort Collins. If you're up there up north and you're listening to this, go check them out. Look up BFW Colorado and click on the Fort Collins page, and you'll be directed to where you can go to get your stuff there. Or you can go, if you're in Denver, you can go down to the one in the dairy block, which is my preferred place to go. I don't make it down as often as I would like to, but there is great selections of wines. You know, we're coming up to New Year's. This is the last CSG of the of 2022. So why don't you just go down and tell them that Jeff Morton sent you down there and get yourself some, get some wine, get some great wine, get some reds, whites, blends, rosés, and local Colorado wines. They have their own wine from Sonoma County that they make. Anything that you need to win the best wine bar in Denver. Once again, they're located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They are always online at BFW Denver, excuse me, BFW Colorado. That's the second time I made that mistake. BFWColorado.com. They are on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. When you go in or you talk to them, tell them Jeff Morton from CSG Podcast sent you. Anyone who has followed me or known me for most of my life, but I mean, even long, less of a time than that, if you just follow me on Twitter, you knows that my favorite movie director of all time is John Carpenter. And watching the end of the, because I didn't see most of the game, I had to catch up on the highlights. When I'm watching this game and I'm watching Nikola Jokic just kind of casually go through 20 points, you know, 10 rebounds and 9 assists. And it occurs to me the lack of pretentiousness, the ahead of his timeness, the appreciation later part is really like John Carpenter. Carpenter, other than Halloween, which once again was a movie that was appreciated a little later than it should have been. It was released in 78 and it really gained traction a year later in 79. No, maybe not a year, but you know, into 1979. A guy who, from 1976 to 1988 and had one of the greatest streaks of movies you have ever seen ever. It's a streak so consistently good that it ranks up there among the best in movie history. But each and every one of those movies, aside from Halloween, wasn't appreciated until later. I'm talking Assault on Precinct 13, Halloween, The Fog, Escape from New York, The Thing, obviously, Christine, Starman, Big Trouble in Little China, Prince of Darkness, and They Live. I mean, that streak of movies for 12 years ranks among the best ever for any director. And it wasn't appreciated until much later. And the lack of pretentiousness in his movies, I think, is what appeals to me about John Carpenter. But his movies were so excellent and so consistently good that he has such an amazing oeuvre of just like, it's like having a resume out there and someone looking through it and goes, oh, you did this, you did this, you did this. It's the same thing with Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic has back-to-back MVPs and has lifted a Denver Nuggets team that, you know, had went through the wilderness after Carmelo Anthony was traded. And has accomplished something that basically we haven't seen. And it's a streak of goodness that is only getting better. And like my boy JC, there is just a lag in appreciation. And some of that has to do with both men's lack of pretentiousness. Carpenter famously hates it when people intellectualize his movies. There's a great interview he did from 1978 when on the set of Halloween where he says he hates pretentiousness in all its forms. And you can tell Just like, it's so obvious when you watch his movies. The guy's, what you see is what you get. He doesn't look for subtext aside from one, maybe two movies in his canon. You're not looking for big subtext. They Live, it's obvious he's talking about what he's talking about in They Live. It is so on the nose, it's on the nose. And that's one of the reasons people love They Live. It's just, it's obvious what he's talking about. That is what he is. But it's so good, people do not appreciate him until later. Because it is, sometimes people do things that are either ahead of their time or are released at a time when the public can't appreciate what is being accomplished. And John Carpenter did that from 76 to 88. And what's happening right now with Nikola Jokic. And I think, you know, Carpenter has become mythologized and he's legendary and people appreciate him in 2022 going into 2023 probably more than he ever had in his career while he was making movies. Of course, by the time the 90s hit, the consistency is not as good. I happen to enjoy every movie I've seen from John Carpenter, but it was like a basketball, and he will appreciate this, as John Carpenter is notoriously a huge NBA fan. It's kind of like a player getting to the end of his career, and he's not as consistently good. I enjoy every one of his movies. I think I even like parts of Ghost of Mars, folks. And that's how big a John Carpenter fan I am. And I think that there is a unpretentiousness that followed him even through the latter half of his career. He did two episodes of a Showtime series called Masters of Horror, and I highly suggest you check that out. There is a hour-long segment that he did called in the first season called Cigarette Burns. And if you're into horror like I am, it is one of the best. One of the absolute best episodes of Masters of Horror. It's so good, and I really highly suggest you check that out. But this is CSG. This is about basketball. Nikola Jokic may end up that part, but one thing John Carpenter did was he basically retired in 2010 after he made a movie called The Ward. And you can argue that he retired too soon. And if we're looking at a correlation between himself and Nikola Jokic, I can see Nikola Jokic leaving the stage before he has to. I can see him basically saying, I've done what I needed to do. I'm going to go back to Serbia and race horses and do the steeplechase and all this stuff. Stable racing and all this stuff. He will do that. And we will probably never hear from him in Denver again. He will have left his mark. And he will be on to another stage in his life where he doesn't have to worry about making the right NBA play. And he can just focus on what he needs to focus on. And much like Carpenter has done, where he has chosen to just make music and do what makes him happy, it will be the same with Nikola Jokic. And that's pretty neat. And it just occurred to me, like last night watching this Nuggets game, that the similarities between Carpenter and Nikola Jokic are plentiful. They are both unpretentious, both ahead of their time, both guys that will probably be appreciated long, long, long after their careers end. They'll be acknowledged for being game changers, and their canon of accomplishments will go down in history as some of the best we've ever seen. That's pretty freaking cool, folks, and you don't see that stuff like that very often. You know, people have accused me of being obsessed with old JC, but I'll be honest with you, the guy's canon of work, even through the 90s, early 90s, In the Mouth of Madness is a fantastic movie. It's my favorite of his movies. And even after that, he still was doing great stuff. It just got less consistent. And Jokic may or may not enter into that part of his career. But right now we have a 27-year-old Serbian who still is playing basketball, making the right basketball plays, and being ahead of his time. And we got to all sit back and appreciate what's happening right now, because it don't come along very often. So anyway, thank you all for joining me on the latest CSU podcast, the Morecast. I will be talking to you, in 2023. So goodbye.